Sarah's going to come and read for us. It's Acts chapter 11, and it's from verse 19 to the end of the chapter. And before she does, I'm going to pray for us first. Heavenly Father, these are fantastic things we've been singing, that you are the everlasting God. You're the defender of the weak, the comfort to those in need. And you reign forever, our hope and our strong deliverer. We thank you so much for who you are, mighty God, wonderful God, and yet God who sent his own Son into this world to rescue us. Help us now as we look at the Bible to come to know you better. Help us to understand more clearly who you are and what you want to say to us. And as we come to know you better, would we come to love you more and to follow you more closely? In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul.
Now, if you could open your Bible again, please, to Acts 11, because you're going to need it. Well, actually, before we get there, let's go to Acts 8, because we need to know the background. Look at Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul was there giving approval to his, that's Stephen's, death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. That was worse than the Nazis. Anyone who claimed the name of Jesus would lose their job. They might lose their home. They were ostracized. And in order to survive, they had to flee. Now flick over, would you please, to Acts 11. Now before we dig into this, can we pray that, as it says in 11 verse 14, let's pray that the message that God has given us in his word will come home to every one of us. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you that you have a message for every one of us, which is for us and for our families, that enables us to be saved, to be your people. Lord, please open our ears to hear what you have to say to us. Amen. Amen. Now, in our passage from God's word today, we continue to read how the Christian movement spread throughout the world, in spite of the persecution. Or perhaps we should say, because of the persecution. Because every Christian who went out from Jerusalem, they were so committed, I won't say everyone, but many of them, were so committed to the Lord Jesus that they wanted other people to know how they could be saved and be right with God, with heaven to look forward to and a purpose for now. Well, as we've got the same God, perhaps we can learn how this might happen again in North Harts. Now, Acts 9, if you remember, the gospel goes out to Samaria. In Acts 10, it goes to a godly Roman centurion in Caesarea, up there on the coast. Now here in Acts 11:19 on, it goes to Syria, to Antioch. Do you remember where on the map it was? Now, why did this church spread so fast? And it did go fast. Now, very briefly, we're going to look at the five reasons why the church spread. Here they are. They're helped by the Lord. That's number one. He was behind it. They're helped by persecution. They spoke about Jesus. Help is provided. And help's passed on. So they're the 5 points. Firstly, then, they're helped by the Lord. This is, if I might say, so important. You see, church growth is not ultimately dependent on us. Look at verse 21. Why did the church in Antioch grow? The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number believed. Look at 23. Barnabas was sent up, you can see, to Antioch to help this fledgling church. And when he arrived, what did he see? He saw the hand of the evidence of the grace of God. God was at work. And he was glad because the Spirit of God was moving. Where God's at work, there's no stopping him. He's all powerful. If we're not seeing people being won for Christ, why is it that God's power's not at work? This is a major reason why Christians pray. Because we are powerless to convert people. We need God's Spirit to be at work in their consciences and in their minds. Can I ask, do you pray that God will be effective through you? Can I challenge you? Will you pray every day that God will use you for his glory, whether at school, at college, at work, or at home? If you don't bother to pray, can I just say it won't be surprising if God is not at work? Because what he primarily wants is us to be closely involved with him. We desperately need his power. Number one, God is at work. The second reason, well, it's clear, we've looked at it. They were helped by persecution. Look at 19. You see, Christians who are committed to Christ have a wonderful message to say. The church never grows in quality when life is easy. Can I say that again? The church never grows in quality when life is easy. Oh, you may have numbers coming to music festivals. You may have this, that, and the other. But not in quality. In commitment to Christ, pressures are often the means. The Lord's interested in forming a tough, robust people, young people, old people, who are longing to please him. whatever life throws at us, God wants us to be like Richard Wurmbrand. People who've been changed by the grace of God. Now, Barnabas is sent up to help in this young church, which has started not by professionals. No. These were ordinary Christians like you and me who go and say, have you heard that you can get right with God? You can have a purpose that will overcome everything. Well, Barnabas means, do you know what Barnabas means? Bar, son of, Nabas, encouragement. It's a nickname for him. His real name was Joseph. But he used to go around encouraging people. Do you know 9/10 of education is encouragement? French novelist Anatole France said that. 9/10 of education is encouragement. And we need to do that in the church. Look at 23. What happened when Barnabas came to this church that had grown out of persecution? When he saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad. What's the evidence, do you think, that he saw? Surely it's to see individual men and women who've been persecuted, who've lost their homes, who've lost jobs, who, like Richard Wurmbrand, are still living for Jesus Christ. Nothing will stop them. Persecution had turned many of these ordinary people into preachers, maybe preachers in a small way, one-to-one, but they passed on the message. And many were added to the church. See, Barnabas saw this thriving church that had come out of ordinary men and women. That's the grace of God at work. It's very thrilling for us in Christchurch. We've seen a lot of people become Christians, sometimes from very difficult backgrounds, certainly not standard religious ones, and now beginning to talk openly to other people about the Lord Jesus, how they can be saved, and they invite them to come. It really is encouraging for us. We're the means of other people finding Christ. Well, these Jews were so thrilled with the good news that they weren't afraid to tell anybody the good news. Even the sort of people that you don't talk to. So for a Jew, you don't talk to Gentiles, but they did. You know, for us, we don't talk to Pakistanis, Arabs, or do we? Does the gospel matter to them? Does the Lord love them as much as he loves us? Well, the third point. They spoke out about Jesus. Last night I was at a dinner down in London. And I was sitting next to a man who's a very pleasant man. And he'd been a safe breaker. He spent many years in prison. He told me that he found it was more lucrative to be a safe breaker than to have to work hours and hours to get the money. But then he said, a friend of his he didn't know had heard the gospel and become a Christian. And when he was let out of prison, or one of his terms in prison, his friend said, look, you must hear this. I've learnt how we can have a power to live a new life. And it's terrific. You must come. And he went to a Christian meeting. And something hit him. I can't explain it. He can't explain it. Well, we know it's the Holy Spirit hit him. And he wanted to live a new life, the sort of life that God wanted. And he changed. He's now a London City Missioner. People say, yeah, but, you know, I don't want to be the sort of person who pushes their views down other people's throats. There's a famous, I suspect you know, the comic illusionists, Penn and Teller. Have you seen them on telly? Penn Jillette, he's an avowed and very vocal atheist. And one day, a man went up to him. He says, a very pleasant man, and gently explained the gospel to him. Now, he's an atheist. And this is what he had to say about the experience. Just listen. I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect them at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell, or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think, well, it's not really worth telling them because it would make life socially awkward for you. How much do you have to hate someone to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate someone to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believe beyond a shadow of doubt that a truck was coming at you, and you didn't believe it, and that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. So these Christian people from Cyprus and Cyrene, that's North Africa, come to the massive cosmopolitan city of Antioch. It had about 500,000 inhabitants. It's the third most important city in the Roman Empire. They knew, these Christians, that God was with them. He'd called them, after all, to be his special people. They'd been toughened by persecution. So if you're teased at school or at work, rejoice. It'll toughen you up. They now had a message to share. Look, it comes twice. 19, telling the message. Verse 20, just in case people didn't get it, telling them the good news. Now, what was their message? What's our message for other people around us? Look at verse 20. The good news about the Lord Jesus. Now, you may have a great discussion with someone about God or about church, but if you don't move on to discussing the Lord Jesus, you have not been involved in sharing the gospel. You're clear on this. Gospel work is talking about Jesus. Sure, you may get into church to start with, but then you've got to move on and say, excuse me asking, are you committed to Jesus yourself or aren't you sure? Are you a Christian yourself or aren't you clear? You've got to get on to Jesus. And this is what Christians are called to be involved in. Now, we've seen the various names for the followers of Jesus. Disciples, saints, brethren, believers, saved people, followers of the way. But here, they were given a nickname. Now, why were they given the nickname, the Christianos? Because they talked about Christ. That's the only reason. They were full of the Lord Jesus, because he is the message. If you were a sensible politician in those days, you were devoted to Caesar. And you were called the Caesarianos. The Christians were called the Christianos. Isn't that lovely? A new vicar moved into a church, not a thriving church. And after a short time, one of his older lady parishioners went up to him to complain about his preaching. Vicar, you seem besotted with Christ. He smiled and says, oh, that I were more so. Our message is about salvation and about Christ. Now, what's the effect of these men and women, ordinary men and women, talking the good news? It was shattering. They shared that Jesus was God's chosen king, the Christ, God come in the flesh, who's opened the way to us to be forgiven and part of God's family. And the Holy Spirit touched some of the people. And the result, the Lord's hand was with them, can you see? And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. To turn to the Lord is to change direction of your life. Tell me, has everybody here honestly done this? To say, I'm not living for myself now. I'm living like these early Christians, like Richard Bernbrecht. I'm living for the Lord Jesus now. So note what happened. Persecution led to the gospel getting out. Now, help is provided. Look at 22 to 26. Any young church needs help. What help do they need? Do they need jobs? Well, probably they do. But primarily, they need to be taught the Bible. They need to be taught the gospel. It's the need for all new Christians. So if you've recently become a Christian, make sure you're being taught the Bible. This is why Barnabas is sent to help them. He's a son of encouragement. He builds people up. He teaches them the word. He sees the evidence that God's at work, changing people's lives, and he encourages them all. Can you see there? Every one of them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. That's total commitment they expect. No dabbling at being a Christian. We're sold out to the Lord Jesus. There's no place for half-hearted Christians. Barnabas could speak like this to the early church. Why? Well, look at verse 24. What sort of man was he? He's a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. People saw the Spirit of Jesus in Barnabas. Jesus' character, Jesus' concern for the lost. That was there. So he could say, don't be half-hearted. The greatest help that new Christians can have is to be taught the scriptures by people full of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be a professional. You've got to love the Lord Jesus and want to pass it on. That's 24. It's no wonder, is it, that a great number of people were brought to the Lord? So much growth that more full-time staff are needed. He sends for, and this is what's so staggering, who does he send for? Paul, who was Saul, who'd been responsible for the execution of Stephen, that had caused the persecution. Isn't this incredible irony of the Lord? He calls Paul now, changed his name, to Antioch to train the new Christians. What does it mean to be committed to Jesus? Well, the last point, help is passed on. Look at 27 to 30. The test of a genuine faith is a changed life. 27, 29, look, it shows how these early Christians respond to the needs of other Christians. They share, each according to their ability. They support the brothers in Judea. Specifically, they help other Christians. What do we do to support other Christians? Both materially and by teaching them. How can this wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus become re-established in our land in North Harts? Let me finish with a story. There's A very famous American Methodist missionary called Stanley Jones, Dr. Stanley Jones. He went to India, and he enjoyed a personal friendship with Mahatma Gandhi. He's the great reformer of India that led to independence. Gandhi was a great man, a very simple liver. And he had two concepts in his social vision. Ahimsa, which is refraining from harming other people. Never harm other people by word or action. Never do that. Or satyagraha, true force, that the truth will always win. Just keep telling people the truth. Winning people who oppose the truth by just standing there, repeating it and telling it. Accept the suffering that comes. Tell the truth. Satyagraha. Do you know where he got his ideas from? He got it from reading about Jesus. He never actually became a Christian himself, but he was very impressed by Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. This is what he said. It's that sermon which has endeared Jesus to me. It went straight to my heart. Dr. Stanley Jones once asked him how Christianity could be naturalized in India and no longer a foreign plant. It's a good question, because it's the question we need to ask. How can the gospel be re-established in North Harts? This is what this very pleasant, moral non-Christian said. Christians must begin to live more like Jesus Christ. They must practice their religion without adulterating or toning it down. And they must put their emphasis on love. Barnabas was like that. He loved people and lifted them up. Let me finish. Look at verse 24. It's up on the screen. He is a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you that your word is there to encourage us. Lord, thank you for the difficulties that we have, friends and family who misunderstand us. Help that to toughen us up. Help us to be eager to learn and be taught the scriptures. Help us to rely on the power of God to work through us. Lord, please help us to have the teachers we need. But may other people see the effect of the Lord Jesus, that we care for other people. We share what we have for your glory. Lord, please be Lord of me. Amen.